everyone, and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast. I'm Susie Perry.
And I'm Jason Bradbury. And before we get started, we've got to say a huge thank you to our mates at CEX.
Yeah, if you've got old gadgets gathering dust, then CEX will turn them into cash or credit towards your next tech fix.
Yeah, they've got everything from the latest smartphones to proper retro treasures, all tested, guaranteed, and backed by a 5-year warranty.
So whether you're trading in, upgrading, or hunting for a blast from the past, check out webuy.com or drop by one of 400 CEX stores around the UK. Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast, Inbox Edition, the place where your questions, stories and gadget dilemmas take centre stage.
That's right, we've got mail and it's full of your questions, from AI worries to retro gadget revivals. So come on, Susie, let's dig in.
Okay, first up, Connor Hughes said, would you let an AI assistant run your home?
Okay, brilliant question, love it. It talks to the next phase of AI, which is the agentic phase, which, as many of you might already know, involves giving agency to your AI assistant. So, for example, recently I wanted to know when the... I keep talking about this every week. I'm not paid by them, honest. I'm just interested. The Rogue Xbox Ali X consoles were coming out, meaning I wanted to know when the launch window opened for me to purchase one. Yeah, and so I asked ChatGPT. I do use other AIs like Grok and Gemini, but I asked ChatGPT, and it has a certain amount of agency now. Did you know that the app within iOS, and it's set up so that every morning at 8 a.m. it would tell me whether the purchase window is open for these products or not. Right, I've also got it looking at the moment. Independently, once a day at sort of 9 o'clock in the evening, it gives me a little, it sends me an email basically, and it's looking for news about Steam's new VR helm headset, the Deckard, what was called the Deckard, or the Frame as it's now being called. This is how I stay ahead of some of these trends and get up to the minute news that we can give to you lot. So that is OpenAI's first faltering steps into agency, right? It has agency. What you're talking about, Connor, running your home, would include the next level of agency, which would mean access to my credit card, perhaps, or my Sainsbury's account, or whatever you call that card that you put on Sainsbury's, so that it could order food, get it delivered, do sort of stuff like that, right? And you can imagine that's problematic, because when an AI gets or hallucinates and gets a simple question wrong, like, what year was the first Atari 2600 created, and it says 1976 when it's actually 1977, then that's not a big deal. But when it orders 300 glass jars of peanut butter instead of three for me, that's a problem. So and also having access to my credit card, knowing what I'm doing, and then maybe things like, we know have happened because Zuckerberg has told us that it's happened, that intelligence agencies have interest in particular people or do mass, mass data gathering exercises around people's information. It suddenly becomes ethically problematic as well. So that's my quick sort of knee-jerk take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you completely. If it's just smart home stuff, then I think that's okay. But when it goes up a notch, which we've been talking about in the podcast this week,
yeah,
I'm scared. Then I'm out. I'm like, no, I can have it as a doorbell, and I can see on my phone who's there and that kind of thing. I like, but more than that, I'll do it myself. I'm all right doing it myself. It's not such an issue, honestly. We've all done it ourselves forever.
What about all your stuff with? I can imagine booking flights. Checking in. Oh my God. I mean, I hate it. It must be a nightmare for you. Wouldn't it be great if you could just give your, so that the AI knows, what your preferences are. Like, you might prefer Heathrow if you're in London to Stansted. You prefer a good deal over luxury, but you wouldn't mind a bit of an upgrade if it's inexpensive. You prefer certain types of airlines. And then it checks in and finds the seats that you like. You always like a seat on the outside or whatever.
I like a seat by the window. Yeah, but I think that's something different. I think you're talking about a digital assistant there, an AI assistant, which for me is different to a AI controlling your home.
Okay, I see the distinction.
I don't get a kick out of having anything like that done for me. I can do it myself. I don't ever see a time where I need the bath running for when I walk in and the lights to go in a certain mood and the music to come on a certain stuff. I don't do. Need that. No,
I don't. I was with you until he said that. I was like, what, it can do that?
I want to put my record on, right? I want to put my vinyl record on myself. Nice. I want to hear the crackle. And then I want to listen to the music that I've chosen specifically for my album collection. And then I want to put the dimmer on the light down a little bit and get myself a glass of wine out the fridge. I don't need anyone to be doing that shit for me.
We are all imagining your... You sound... God, what a great life you lead when you on the one day of the year you're actually at home.
Yeah, exactly. When I'm not in Indonesia, Malaysia, Australia, I'm so looking forward to that day, I can't tell you. So Connor, that's what I think, we're both worried about the privacy angle a little bit.
The funny thing is,
massively.
Yeah, the tech itself, Connor, no issues with it whatsoever. And my answer is, you know, to would you let an AI assistant run your home, is absolutely. Just the novelty of it, the fun of installing it, and all the options and all the sort of interesting ways that I could watch it doing its thing. I'd love that. As a gadget guy, I think it would be fascinating. I think it's cool. I like the idea. It's just that I've got a sense that someone in a black leather jacket, right, with dark shades in a bunker in Whitehall is going, yeah, he's listening to jazz. He's obviously one of those extreme political types. Oh. Mate. Anyway.
Shall we move on to the next question?
Time for a quick shout out to our sponsors, CEX.
Yeah, they're basically the ultimate recycle and reuse shop for tech lovers. Trade in your old gadgets or grab something new to you without the big price tag.
Yeah, we're talking everything from consoles and cameras to phones, tablets, retro gold from the 80s and 90s. Or even, if we're grabbing props, VR headsets like this, the MetaQuest 3. If you've got one and are thinking of cashing it in, CX will give you just shy of £300 for this, Suze. This will go a long way to getting the latest or greatest, you know, iPhone 16, whatever you're after, which, by the way, you can get from £550 at CX.
Yeah, and everything they sell comes with a 5-year warranty. So second hand doesn't mean second best.
Check them out at webuy.com or pop into one of nearly 400 CX stores across the UK. You might just find your next tech obsession. Lewis Thornton says, if you could bring back one retro gadget from the 80s or 90s with modern tech inside, I like it. What would it be? Susie.
Easy. Sony Walkman. Loved it so much. I just love it. I think it's like my ultimate retro gadget, actually. The Sony Walkman was pretty clunky, really, when you look back at it, wasn't it? I mean, really distinctive. Yeah. But the soundtrack of my youth in the 80s. So I'd love to see it reborn with some modern tech, Lewis. Yeah. So a bit of, you know, noise cancelling in the headphones, some Bluetooth, maybe a little OLED display. Keep that same clicky play button and the metallic finish that it had, because I like that. But, you know, give it some lossless streaming, retro look,
come on,
future sound. Come on, how sexy is that?
The orange button.
Do it.
The orange button that you push down where you could share between two headphones and talk to each other.
That's so romantic. That's the most romantic thing.
Okay, I want you to Google something for me. Not now, but later on. And this is off piece. This ain't in the script. This is pure me. We are Rewind, Susie. And they've done exactly what you're saying.
They've done it already.
Yeah, no OLED screen. I like that idea. But they've done virtually everything you've just talked about. They've done it.
Yeah.
And they do a version that that sort of channels the same sort of blue, silver aesthetic as the original, plus other really cool different ones, like a kind of burnt orange colour and a black one, things like that.
I like the burnt orange. We are Rewind, did you say?
We are Rewind. They've even got little sponge... You know, like the sponge headphones.
The orange sponge headphones.
Yeah, with the aluminium band. Okay, I'm torn, really. I think if I go for one, it's a great question, this. Great question.
Yeah, it is.
I'd go for something like a really old school, early 90s mobile phone, like the Nokia Banana phone. I always forget what the actual name of that is, but the banana, the bendy one, where you could just flick and it would slide down and talk. I'd go for that, but I'd have a smartphone screen and innards in it, so I could touch the screen on it. I could have, you know, watch my YouTube, albeit on a very small screen. I understand that, but full color, mini OLED, beautiful, and 5G and all that sort of stuff. That's what I'd do. I think that would be really cool. That, or maybe channeling a little bit of Suze's nostalgia, an old school boombox, like a really good boombox. I have tested a few actually over the years. I've never found one that has the quality of old school ghetto blasters from back in the day, like the ones I used to use when I used to go breakdancing in the high street. Sometimes they're either cheap and a bit plasticky, or they're made out of kind of aluminium and they're like 700 quid and they look a bit futuristic. I want something that looks absolutely perfect, like exactly like it was in the old school, but can stream, like you said, lossless music, can stream, connect to my phone, and I can chuck data across, chuck tracks across to it, that sort of thing. But the sound obviously would be reproduced by really high quality modern.
Can I just tell you something? Because you're talking about that, you just reminded me of something that happened to me today. So I am in Sydney. I'm actually in an apartment in Manly, at Manly Beach.
Is it Manly though?
It is Manly. Yeah. It's pretty manly. And budgie smugglers and all that. Anyway, I walked around to Shelley Beach today, and as I was walking around the coastline, there's some kids on the rocks, and they had that. They had a big boom box. Really? And it was like, had a fantastic sound. I was sort of looking around thinking, well, where's that coming from? And they were just sitting on the rocks, and there was a lot of people looking at them kind of like down their noses. And I was thinking, oh, it's fantastic. This is exactly what we used to do when we were kids. I mean, in Wolverhampton, it was a bit different than sitting on the rocks in Sydney, I grant you. But they were playing Queen, you know, and it was just brilliant that they got Queen blasting out. And they got their big boombox there. I thought how fantastic it was. And I hadn't seen one for ages.
I'm glad to see that the kids are recognising how cool it is to just play your music as a social, you know, as a social outdoors activity. That's great.
I think, you know, ultimately we all crave that kind of simplicity, but with a modern twist, maybe. Mm.
Anyway, Susie, I digress. Another question, please.
Love it. This is a bit of an anonymous question because our producer's lost the person's name. Sorry. let's talk of Apple making AR glasses. So do you think Apple Vision Pro is dead in the water?
Wow. So I thought you were going to say, so do you think that's, you know, there is, you can we reasonably confirm that they're doing a version of the Meta glasses, but, you know, Apple's version. But no, you're saying, therefore, is Vision Pro defunct? I think Vision Pro was always an experiment. That's why it costs $3,500. That's how you fund an experiment, isn't it? You don't do what Meta have done with their Quest series, which is make them less than they actually cost to make. In order to get you on board and buying all the games and all that sort of stuff, or you know, a platform that doesn't provide an awful lot of profit for Meta, let's say, just really good value to the consumer. Apple's model is different with Vision Pro. So I think, I haven't thought about that before, but yes, I believe what would happen is there'll be a transition to a more wearable version of the Vision Pro, because that brand is still quite strong, even though it's niche. Then yes, the Vision Pro will I think inevitably fall by the wayside. I've never really thought about that before.
Well, you know, they never make anything and walk away from it, really, do they? I suppose what they've done there is they've made the moon, and they're going to create the stars from that, effectively. So they're going to take what works and keep refining it until it fits into everyday life.
Yeah,
does what it says in the tin, if you know what I mean. I think, you know, the Vision Pro is probably step one. And let's be honest, when Apple finally nails the design, and, you know, everybody like me probably pretend they wanted a pair all along.
Well, it'll be step three where they nail it. You know, step two will be a rather clunky, low battery life, but much lighter wearable mixed reality version of the full cap mixed reality Vision Pro, because it is mixed reality. It's got that crown, hasn't it, where you can literally dial in reality. I think it's a brilliant innovation. But version three will be the that'll be the one that starts to change. And if I would have said it absolutely with confidence 3 years ago, because Apple had never really dropped the ball. You know, they just revolutionized every time, and then they'd upgrade with meaningful iterations. That's not the case now. There's no question they have absolutely messed up their deployment of AI, and people should be fired if they haven't been fired. They have absolutely messed up. They have promised things that just have not been delivered.
But, you know, in terms of this question, no, but in terms of this question specifically about Vision Pro, don't you think that AR will become more useful? And when it does become more useful and more daily, let's say, then that is when the market will open.
Yeah, augmented reality is where we're headed. Glasses on our heads that are effectively smartphones. Susie, you're right. And you're also right to say that, of course, it's a no-brainer. Apple will make some of the most beautiful, some of the most desirable facially worn smartphones available. Yeah, they're well set up for that. That is a good way of putting it, actually. I've got another question from David McNeeney. David says, I'm new to wearing glasses. Welcome to the fold. All the sexiest people wear glasses. I saw you walking up Lincoln High Street. Oh, God. In the same glasses as this clip. I think I was wondering, what brand do you wear, please? What a lovely question, and very politely put. So the brand of glasses that I wear are designed by a London-based designer who, very unusually, not only designs but also manufactures the glasses in a factory in London. How about that? Not even in England, in London. The factory actually is up in Isleworth. And his name is Tom Davies, and he's since over the years become a friend of mine. Most people will know him for designing the glasses for Heston Blumenthal, and he also designs glasses for movies. So he designed the Superman glasses in one of the recent Superman movies. He also made a pair of glasses for Carrie Fisher. So he's quite cool. And he's also a lovely man, very sort of British, looks a bit like... you know, like a 60s movie star with sort of horn rim glasses, really suave designer, Tom Davies. And yes, but I have worn other brands. I do wear other brands, but these, yes, David, are the ones that I'm most well known for wearing.
Very cool. Aaron Doyle would like to know, will cloud gaming ever properly replace consoles? Well, I'm going to say, Aaron, not for a while yet. The idea is brilliant, obviously. Play anywhere, no downloads, no big console under the TV. But the reality is that the broadband, it's just not reliable enough across the UK, is it really at the moment? Even good fibre, a little latency can completely ruin the experience. So I think until the infrastructure catches up, consoles are probably safe. What do you think, Jase?
Yeah, I mean, when I first experienced cloud gaming, which I wish I could remember the platform I used to use, you got these little boxes and you could plug them in. The concept is so compelling, isn't it? You know, an NVIDIA GeForce Now and all these other, there's loads of different cloud-based offerings. But yes, they just don't really deliver. They don't deliver, especially if you're going mobile. So I've talked about my Steam Deck many, many times. And there are lots of other really interesting sort of portable devices that can connect to cloud gaming services. But it never quite flows. It sort of depends what you're playing. You know what I mean? Like if you're playing like an old school retro arcade game or something, or a console game, then it's fine, because those instant sort of neurological impulses, that hyper light, speed of light response isn't so critical. But when you're starting to play, you know, tournaments and you're playing Fortnite or Call of Duty or Battlefield or whatever, you know, or even a kind of you know, RPG, and you're sort of battling with a dragon and stuff, the instant nature of that physical and neurological reaction time becomes critical, and that's what's lost in the kind of latency poor environment that Susie just described. So yeah, I think until maybe whatever the I'm sure we'll talk about 6G or whatever's coming next. And when we do, maybe that will be the tipping point. But right now, I'm not aware of any impending rollout that will change the situation, which is a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, the experience just gets hijacked slightly, doesn't it? Here's one for you, Jace, from Laura Bates. What's a cheap gadget that you've genuinely been impressed by recently?
Okay, well, if I could be permitted to say, given that our sponsor is a great place to go for this sort of tech, and this is not scripted, this is just genuine, it's got to be retro gadgets, because you can buy amazing things really inexpensively. And I actually recently bought a Game Gear, and it's not actually this one. This is a one that I had a friend of mine do some special graphics on. But I bought a Game Gear, and it was really inexpensive. I'm able to buy inexpensive Game Gear games, whack them in the back, really of my childhood. It's incredible. I can't remember what I bought it for. But it would have been a lot less than £100. And it's incredible, absolutely amazing. And I was able to upgrade this one. I've had it all upgraded so that you can charge it via USB-C and things like that. Retro gadgets, you know.
Yeah, I mean, good one.
Yeah, I bought the Game Boy camera as well. I bought the Game Boy camera and took some shots of the kids and the family. And that was really fun, really funny, like, result that I got out of that. And that was nothing. That was just 30 quid or something.
I like the Ninja Blast portable blender. Have you heard of that?
No, tell me about it.
Well, you know, I'm at the age of life where you need to eat as much protein as possible. So this is what it says. It's a completely cordless blender, but it's surprisingly powerful. And it charges by USB-C. So you can take it anywhere and make your smoothies wherever you are. And so if you're traveling, it's brilliant.
Can I just say how relieved I am that none of us mentioned an air fryer?
I know we haven't mentioned one for ages.
But sometimes the best gadgets, you know, they're not the flashiest, are they? They're the ones that just don't cost an arm and a leg and deliver real value. So
yeah, exactly. And you use them, you know, a lot. That's the thing. I mean, one of the greatest gadgets, I always say, is a kettle. All right, it's time for another fact off. So this is where Jace and I go head to head with little nuggets of useless but interesting tech trivia that we can find. So here's a little bit of trivia that's really surprising. NVIDIA is now officially the most valuable tech company in the world. Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, I'm not so surprised, but yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, their market value has just topped $4.3 trillion. Because that's more than Apple, more than Microsoft, and about the size of the entire economy of Germany.
Jeez.
It's amazing. It's wild when you think about it. This is a company that not that long ago was mainly known for making graphics cards for gamers that you always used to bang on about. But now they're the beating heart of the AI revolution. And this is where it's all come in. So NVIDIA chips, their GPUs, are now powering everything from chatbots and data centers to self-driving cars, AI training systems. Basically, if it involves AI, there's probably an NVIDIA chip somewhere inside it. And that demand has gone through the roof. So every tech giant wants their hardware. And investors are treating NVIDIA like the golden ticket to the future. So it's not bad, is it, for a company who started out helping people play Quake a little bit faster. Now they're literally shaping the future of computing and making silicon seriously, seriously cool again.
Well, I've got a fact for you, and it turns out I can actually reveal some new research about 6G. Okay, because the 6G revolution is currently underway. As I mentioned a minute ago, Japanese engineers have tested wireless links at over, and this might answer our previous question in this podcast about cloud-based gaming services, speeds of over 100 gigabits per second in a lab, all right? So that's roughly 10 times faster than 5G. How about that? That would mean downloading a 4K film in like 2 seconds. And here's a sobering stat. There are now around 5.6 billion smartphone users worldwide. That's more than two-thirds of the planet's population. So there you go. I've tied it up, not just an amazing fact off, but also one of our questions from earlier with one cool fact.
And it's not stopping there, because by 2030, so in 5 years, the number of connected devices is expected to pass 30 billion. That's everything from smart speakers to fridges talking to each other. It's going to be very noisy. And since we'll have a retro record, the first mobile phone call was made in 1973 by Martin Cooper using a Motorola Dynatac.
Epic.
Dynatac, yeah, that weighed about a kilogram and gave you half an hour of talk time. How far we've come, though, when you're talking about, you know, everything that's come before. It's amazing.
That's nuts. That's absolutely nuts. Okay, I've got another factoid for you. Artificial intelligence, right? The term. That was first used in 1956 at Dartmouth College. Who'd have thought that? During a summer workshop where researchers set out to define a new field. So if we fast forward to today, ChatGPT reached 100 million users in about 2 months, making it one of the fastest growing consumer apps that we've ever seen. So a couple of facts, all of which are, I think it's fair to say, pretty mind blowing.
So that is a wrap on this week's Inbox Edition. Thanks so much for your brilliant questions and stories. Please send us more.
No, we love it because it generates really good content, but it also... You know, it's coming from you, and that's really important. I love this Inbox Edition. It's such a good idea. Well done to our producer, Tom. Anyway, we are here for all your gadget needs. We want as many interactions from you as possible, so you can put stuff in the comments of on our various social platforms, or you can get in touch via our email address, which is contact@northone.tv.
Yeah, and a big shout out to CEX for backing our podcast. Whether you're hunting for the latest tech or a retro treasure or fancy trading in your old kit for cash or credit, you know CEX has you covered. Plus, you get a 5-year warranty, and you can find them at webuy.com or in one of nearly 400 stores across the UK.
And don't forget, the main Gadget Show podcast drops every week. Also, so hit subscribe and we'll catch you next time. Until then, keep your gadgets juiced and your inbox tidy.
And next week, I'll be coming to you from Melbourne.
Epic!
Yay! The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.